And we're holding on Dalet Amud Aleph, the second line. We put a question on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Is an Oral allowed to eat Maisa Sheni? We established that an Oral is not allowed to eat Truma. We know, of course, he can't eat from the Korban Pesach or other Kodshim. What about Maisa Sheni? By the way, the Gemara just called it Maisa at the beginning of the Sugya, but in general, when we refer to Maisa unspecified, usually we mean Maisa Sheni because that's the one that has special dinim about what you can do with it. Maisa Rishon, for the most part, not, although we're going to see in the Gemara that there are opinions that disagree on that. But in general, when we say Maiser unspecified, it usually means Maiser Sheni. So the question was Oral Ma'uba Maiser. And so we brought that Rav Sheshes had brought a Mishnah from Bikurim that listed a bunch of differences between Truma versus Maiser. And this wasn't on the list there, implying that an Oral is also in both of them. But the Gemara said not necessarily, it could be Ton of Ashire. And then the last thing we said was that, in fact, Rav Ashi points out that you can clearly see that Mishnah is, in fact, Ton of Ashire. It doesn't give an exhaustive list. So therefore, we don't really have a proof yet. So now the Gemara is getting back to that point. Can an Oral eat Maisa Sheni? So Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, Nishtairu by Tzitzin HaMa'akvinis HaMila. If a person had a Bris Mila, but there are shreds of skin left, that I'm active, which we learned the other day, that if there's skin of the Orla left there covering most of the circumference of the Atara, or even not most of the circumference, but in one particular place, most of the height of it, then that means the Mila is no good, and then those pieces of skin have to be cut away. So then the Braisa says, if a person has that, so he can't eat any of these things, Truma, Pesach, Kodshim, or Maiser. Now, again, when we say Maiser, usually unspecified, it means Maiser Sheni. So my lav Maiser Dagon. So aren't we referring then to Maiser of grain and the other things that are Chayiv and Maiser, which again, when we talk about Maiser unspecified, usually means Maiser Sheni. So there you go. This Braiser would clearly be saying that somebody who is an Oral, which in this case he's considered because of those shreds of skin that are left, can't eat Maiser Sheni. The Gemara says, like, not necessarily doesn't mean that kind of Maiser. Maiser Behema. You could say that the Maiser it refers to over here is Maiser Behema. You take one-tenth of your animals and bring them as a korban. The korban is once you bring the korban, then the meat of it is also to Zorim, is mutter to Zorim. It's mutter to everybody. It's not reserved only for Kohanim. But again, being that it's Kodshim and Oro can't eat it, maybe that's what the Braisa means. Well, it already lists Kodshim. Maisa Behema is a form of Kodshim. So why would it list it separately? So the Gemara says, well, it's not Pesach Katoni Kodshim. New. And it also says Pesach and it says Kodshim. Also, you could say the same thing. The Pesach is another kind of Kodshim. So why list it separately? So the Gemara says that's not really a salt. So therefore, in other words, the point is the Gemara is saying, so okay, the Braisa is mentioning Kodshim, and then it mentions in particular two kinds of Korbanos within Kodshim, Pesach and Maiser. Doesn't necessarily show that we're talking about Maiser Sheni, but the Gemara says no. Bishleima Pesach for Kodshim Tzrich. No, because there's a reason why it needs to mention Pesach and single it out from all the other Kodshim. The Itana Pesach. Because if it only said the Pesach and didn't mention other Kodshim, you would say, Mishum Da'al Reilas, Pesach Ksiva. After all, where do we have the whole concept that an Oral is excluded anyway? The one place where it mentions it explicitly is by the Korban Pesach. It's from there that we learn it out to everything else, as we talked about at the beginning of the Perek. So because it says over there, Avo Kodshim, Emalo, you would think maybe it doesn't apply to other Kodshim. Maybe that din is unique to the Korban Pesach. The Eton of Kodshim, but on the other hand, if it only said Kodshim, have Amin and my Kodshim Pesach. Well, then you would misunderstand and say that the Kodshim we mean is specifically not all Kodshim, but rather specifically the Pesach. So we understand why it needed to single out Pesach and then list Kodshim. That way it makes it clear that this din of Oral applies equally well to all Kodshim, not just to the Korban Pesach. So the fact that it says Pesach separately doesn't mean that Kodshim doesn't mean the rest of the Kodshim. But there would be no reason to say Maisa Behema. There's no particular reason why we would think that this din applies uniquely to Maisa Behema or conversely, that doesn't apply to Maisa Behema, that other Kodshim can't be eaten by an Oro and Maisa Behema could. So once we're at that, then there's no reason to list Maisa Behema separately. So therefore, if it says in the Braisa Maiser can't mean Maisa Behema, it must mean Maisa Dagon, namely Maisa Sheni. Okay, the Gemara says fine, Ela Maisa Rishon. However, we could still say that the Braisa is talking about Maisa Rishon and saying that an Oro can't eat it. But Rav Meir, he doma Maisa Rishon also lazore. Namely, our Braisa would be going, according to Rav Meir, who holds that Maisa Rishon is also to Zorim. We're going to continue with this topic about Truma and Maiser and who's allowed to eat them and who's not. We're going to continue in the next Perek, Bez Hashem. Mainly, we're going to be talking about it in terms of, again, of which wives of Koyanim are and aren't allowed to eat it. But the point is, we're gonna go over there. We're gonna have a sugya over there on Daf Pei Pei Vav that's gonna talk about various dinim of who's allowed and not allowed to eat Maiser. And now the general understanding of most Chachamim is that Maiser Rishon, yes, you have to give it to the Levi, but once you do, then anybody can eat it. The Levi himself and his family don't have to eat it. Anybody could. Reb Meir disagrees and says that it's also Tazarim. Well, then Reb Meir might well say also that, listen, an oral is in effect, or is in effect like a czar, or at least he would say, maybe he doesn't actually say that, but he would say at least that arelos is something very severe, and therefore it bars him from eating Maiser Rishon. But what we were asking, the original question, whether an oral can eat Maiser Sheni, would be according to the Chachamim. And the Chachamim who hold that Maiser Rishon has no particular kedusha in it, and anybody can eat it, they might well say that an oral is allowed to eat it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. Midtoni Rabchia Barab Midifti, Oral also b'shtei Maiseris. So Rabchia Barab Midifti teaches a Braisa that says that an Oral is also to eat two kinds of Maiser. Now, what do we mean two kinds of Maiser? My love, Echad Maiser Dogen, Echad Maiser Behema. On the face of it, now we know there are at least three kinds of Maiser so far that we've discussed. Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni, which are both taken from grain, and Maiser Behema. Now, if we're saying two of them are off limits to an oral, one of them obviously has to be Maisa Behema, given that it's a korban. Now, here we can't say why we're singling it out, because we're not mentioning the other korbanos. We're just mentioning it because we're giving like a handy way to remember that all of them are Maiser. But of the other one, it can't be Maisa Rishon on the face of it, because again, Maisa Rishon is mutter to Zorim, according to the Chachamim, and there'd be no reason an oral can't eat it. So the other one has to be Maisa Sheni. So my love, echad ma'aser dogen ve'echad ma'aser behema. On the face of it, then one of them is ma'aser of grain, and within that, what we mean is ma'aser sheni of grain and other things, and the other one would be ma'aser behema. So that would answer the question that yes, ma'aser dogen is off limits to zorim, is off limits to arelim. And the Gemara says, nah, how ochanami ma'aser rishon with a mayor. Here also, you could say that the two ma'asers it's talking about are ma'aser rishon and ma'aser behema, and this braiser would be according to the mayor. Not necessarily is it saying anything about ma'aser sheni. Okay, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A braiser says, oinen osu b'ma'aser, and oinen, a person who his relative passed away on that day, is also to eat ma'aser sheni, and that we know because the pasuk says explicitly, lo yachalti ba'oni mimenu. On the other hand, he's allowed to eat truma. We established before that since it says b'chol zor lo yoichal boy, it means a zor can't eat truma, but an oinen could. Koyin was an oinen could. Ubapara, and also an oinen is allowed to be involved with preparing and sprinkling the parah aduma. Rashi points out, after all, it's not a korban. If it was a korban, then yes, an oinen would not be able to be involved with bringing it. In general, a kohen who's an oinen, with the exception of a kohen gadol, is not allowed to do the avodah. But this is not kodesh mizbeach, so therefore it's not an issue. And since we find that a tzvul yoim, we learned yesterday that a tzvul yoim is allowed to be involved with preparing the parah aduma, all the more so an oinen. Tosfos also adds, okay, you have an onion is also to eat Maiser, and a Tzvul Yom is mutter to eat Maiser. So you see that in some ways, a Tzvul Yom is more lenient than an onion. On the other hand, we're talking about eating. But when it comes to touching, when it comes to touching things, we never find that an onion should be more stringent than a Tzvul Yom. So if Tzvul Yom is allowed to do the Parah Aduma, certainly an onion is. The Braisa continues, Tvul Yoim Osir B'Truma Umotu B'Para. A Tvul Yoim is Osir in Truma, unlike an Oinim said is Osir to eat Truma. Tvul Yoim is Motu to eat Truma, as we're going to learn later on how we know that. Umotu B'Para, the Tvul Yoim also, as we learned previously, is allowed to prepare the Parah Adrama, because since that he's out Tohar, it means Miklal Shiru Tameh, it means that he's Tohar only to a certain extent, but he still has a degree of Truma, namely that means a Tvul Yoim. So also the truma multiple part over meiser. A tvul yoim is also allowed to eat meiser sheni, as we're going to discuss. So he's also to eat truma, but he's allowed to eat meiser sheni, as we're going to discuss on Omer Beis how we know that. Mechosik kipurim also b'parah, and then you have a mechosik kipurim, somebody who you have certain people who are tamei, where part of their process of tara is that they need not only to go to the mikveh, which all tameim do, and not only do they need a head of shemesh, but they also need to bring a korban the next day. A Zav, a Mitzora, a Yeledes, there's a couple of examples. So all of those, Mechusa Kippurim, also B'Parah, they are also to be preparing and sprinkling the Parah Adroma, Umutu, B'Truma, over Meiser, but they are allowed to eat Truma and Meiser. So in other words, the Braisa is sort of like giving us a triangle over here. You have three things, you have three conditions that block a person from doing certain things, Oinen, Tvul Yoim, and Mechosik Kippurim, and you have three things. You have three things that we can talk about, whether they can be involved with them or not: Meiser, Truma, and Parah. And for each one of them, we have two things yes. The Oinen is also in Meiser, but not the other two. The Tvul Yoim is also in Truma, but not the other two. And the Mechosik Kippurim is also in Parah, but Mutter in the other two. Now, V'im Issa. Now, if you're going to tell me that an Oral is not allowed to eat Meiser either, then you could bring another one over here. You don't need to mention only the Oinen, the Tvul Yoim, and the Mechosik Kippurim. You could bring in another one. Nisni, it could say, Oral also B'Truma, or Mutter B'Parah over Meiser. If an Oral is in fact allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, then the Braisa could have brought that as another example, where we have somebody who among these three things is prevented from one of them, but is Mutter to the other. The fact that it doesn't implies that an Oral is also in two of them, and therefore he's not similar to these, and therefore it didn't bring him in. The Gemara says no. No, because you could say that the Tana of this Braisa, the Tana of this Braisa is Rabbi Akiva, which we learned previously. We discussed on Ayin Beis on the Beis, the Marbile La Oro Katame. Where does he learn Bechlal that an Oral is not allowed to eat Truma? We learned earlier in the Perek, he learns it from the Psukim that talk about Tomei. The Tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer Ish Ish L'Rabbas is an Oral, because we said when we were discussing how we know that a Tomei can't eat Truma, we had Rabbi Eliezer brought a Gzeira Shava for it, and Rabbi Akiva says, never mind the Gzeira Shava, the fact that it says Ish Ish Mizera Aaron, and then it continues to talk about Tmeim. The words ish ish also includes an oral. So Rabbi Akiva is learning the oral from the Tamei. So therefore, he would say that in fact the oral has the same dinim as the Tamei. So therefore, he would say that in fact the oral can't be involved with the Parah Adroma. In fact, we learned before. We learned before on Ayin Beis on the Beis, we brought a Braisa that said that the oral can sprinkle Parah Adroma. We said Rabbi Lazar had said there oral shehiza has osik shera, and then we brought a brisa to that effect. But then we brought another brisa saying that an oral is possible to be involved with the Parah Adroma, and we said that's according to Rabbi Yosef, etc. There, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that an oral is in that regard like a tummy. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Uman Tana de Poligale de Rabbi Akiva." So which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Now, the understanding of the next couple of lines of the Gemara, these next two or three lines, is a bit difficult, and there are several different gersois and several different explanations on it. So we'll go first through according to Rashi, and then we'll talk about according to different other mafarshim. So "Uman Tana de Poligale de Rabbi Akiva." So which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and says that we learned before that an oral is in fact allowed to do the Parah Adroma, because we said we brought there two braises, one saying that an oral could do the Parah Adroma and the other one saying that he can't. So which who would be the author of the Braisa that says that he could? That would be Tana de Rabbi Yosef HaBavli. That would be the Tana Kama who disagrees with Yosef HaBavli in another Braisa. Netanya, Sreifas Onen Mechosik Kippurim Kshera. A Braisa says that if an Onen or Mechosik Kippurim burn the Parah Adoma, which is of course part of the process of preparing it, Kshera, then the Parah Adoma is kosher. Rabbi Yosef HaBavli Omer, Onen Kshera Mechosik Kippurim Psula. Rabbi Yosef HaBavli disagrees, says an Onen sure is kosher because there's no reason to pass a limb. Again, like we said before, the Parah Adoma is not Todshim Mizbeach. But an oral, he said, but a mechosik kippurim, he says, would be possible to do the parah adoma. So now Rashi says, apparently we can assume that the same way as he would argue with the other chachamim on mechosik kippurim, he would also argue about oral. So therefore, so we could say that when we said before braisa that an oral can do the parah adoma, or at least can sprinkle the parah adoma, that would be according to the Chachamim. Meanwhile, according to Yosef HaBavli and according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say that an oral cannot. That's Rashi's explanation. That's Rashi's girsa and Rashi's explanation. Tosfos has a problem with that because what's the logic? Just because the Tanakama in this last braisa that we quoted said that a mechosik kippurim is kosher and Rabbi Yosef HaBavli says differently, does that necessarily mean that they argue about oral? What does one have to do with the other? And after all, also, what do you mean? The Gemara is asking over here which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. We have a very simple answer. At the beginning of the Perek, we said that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of this word ish, l'rabbis is oral. He learns Exeter Shava to say that an oral can't eat truma. Well, according to him, an oral has nothing to do with a tome, or mechosik kippurim, which is also a lesser form of truma. So the Gemara could have easily answered, what do you mean, who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Eliezer. So Tosfos discusses a different girsa over here. That just the opposite. The Tanakama of our braisa over here would be saying that both the Tanakama and Yosef HaBavli would be saying that mechosik kippurim is possible, and then the Tanakama would be saying an oral is possible, and Yosef HaBavli would be saying an oral is kosher. So then we would say, okay, we want to find a braisa that mentions the actual name of the Tana. Before we said generically, there are chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say that an oral is kosher. Fine, maybe it's Rabbi Eliezer, maybe not. We don't find explicitly, but here we find a clear braisa according to that girsa that Yosef HaBavli allows it. But then Tosfos says that girsa doesn't really work. And there's other questions on Tosfos's answer as well. One of them being and the question really would be on both Rashi and Tosfos in a way. Why did the Gemara save this discussion until here on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, when we first brought up the point about whether an oral can do the parah adoma? Right then, the Gemara should have said, which Tana is it? Let's identify the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. So there are different other explanations having to do with, among other things, the possibility that maybe, in fact, in that Gemara before, we said Rabbi Yosef was the one who said that Rabbi Akiva makes an oral like a tome, and then we had Rava disagreed with that. But what is Rava disagreeing on exactly? Is it possible that maybe Rava is saying that it's not just the that maybe Rabbi Akiva would be saying it only regarding the parah adoma, but not regarding anything else? In other words, when Rava is disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef over there on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, is he necessarily saying that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva about parah adoma, or would they maybe be agreeing with him? So now the Gemara is revisiting that and saying, after all, we're discussing over here whether an oral is allowed to do the parah adoma, and we're saying that fine, maybe an oral is also in Truma and in Meiser, but is allowed to do the parah adoma, then maybe we would say we have to find a Tana that actually says so, because maybe according to both Rabbi Yosef and Rava over there, we would say, in fact, that neither Rabbi Akiva nor the Chachamim that disagreed with him would allow such a thing. How goes Agro anyway, sidesteps the whole problem kind of neatly. What he does is he takes out four words from our Gemara, and he takes out the words, the Polagale de Rabbi Akiva. So then the Gemara would just be asking, which Tana would it be And that's saying that the question isn't about disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva. The question would just be who would be the author of the Braisa over here that says that a Mechusa Kippurim is not allowed to do the Parada. And the answer would be that, and the answer would be that it would be according to Rabbi Yosef Abab. Okay, so there's several different explanations and several different gersois over here. It's a bit difficult to understand these couple of lines of the Gemara. Anyway, so that's that then. The point is that we don't really have, so far we haven't explicitly found one way or the other a solid proof whether an oral is also in Maisa Sheni or not. We have various attempted proofs, but we didn't show that any of them are ironclad. But the Gemara continues. Now, we started the sugya by saying that Rav Sheshes holds that he is also in Meiser and tried to bring a proof from the Mishnah in Bechoris. So now the Gemara says, I'll show you that there's another Amora that also says that an oral is also in Meiser Sheni. Oral also in Meiser. He brings an actual source for it. By both Meiser and by Pesach, it says the word mimenu. By the Korban Pesach is al tof mimenu na. Where the word mimenu, as we're going to discuss over here, is kind of extra. And by Meiser Sheni, it also says lo yachalti ba'oni mimenu. As we're going to see in a minute in the Gemara, it actually says multiple times by each of them, it says the word mimenu. But the point is, by both of them, it says mimenu. So therefore, ma mimenu ha'omer pesach oral osoboy, af mimenu ha'osob ma'iso oral osoboy. So the same rules apply to both, that mimenu, just like an oral, can't eat from the korban pesach. And we know that because it says clearly in the pasuk, so also by ma'iso sheni. However, the Gemara says, mufni. Necessarily, you have to say that this Gzeira Shava is Mufna, as we talked about in the beginning of the Perek. Sometimes you have a Gzeira Shava where the words that you're using for the Gzeira Shava are really actually used for other drashas or for other meanings in the Pasuk. And then that Gzeira Shava is called not Mufna. The words for the Gzeira Shava are not available. Where then you have different opinions in different places in Shas, whether you can even make such a Gzeira Shava. But if you do, everybody agrees that you could slog it up. So mufni, the Gemara says, necessarily, you would have to say, if we're going to say Gzeira Shava on the word mimenu, you have to say that these words mimenu are extra and not needed for any other meaning in the pasuk. The Eloi mufni, because if they're not mufni, ikla mifrach, then you could slog up this Gzeira Shava by showing that there's a difference between Pesach and Meiser. Mala Pesach sheken chayov and olav mishum pigul noiser v'tomei. After all, a korban pesach being a korban, then the isurim of pigul and noiser and tomei apply to it, whereas by ma'aser sheni not. So there would be reason to say that what applies to pesach does not necessarily apply to ma'aser. In fact, Tosfos points out yesterday in the Gemara we learned six things that kodshim have over truma. And of those, five of them apply to the Korban Pesach. Well, some of them are the ones that pay. We said pay nun kuf ayin chof samach. So the pay and the nun we're mentioning over here, that the pigul and noiser, the fact that the Korban Pesach is a korban, the fact that me'ila applies to it, which is done to ma'aser sheni, the fact that a person's chayiv koris for eating it when he's not supposed to. And the last one was also la'oinen, that a korban pesach can't be eaten by an oinen. So actually, Agos Habach takes out the samach, because the fact is that a ma'aser sheni can't be eaten by an onan either. The point is, in other words, that the point is there are many things that Korban Pesach has stringencies over ma'aser. So therefore, if this Gzeira Shava is mufne, then okay, Gzeira Sakosuv, that's what it is. Doesn't matter that Pesach is more stringent. Nevertheless, we can learn. But if this Gzeira Shava is not mufne, then you could slug it up like that. So the Gemara answers, loye, indeed, afnuye mafni. Indeed, it is mufna. I can show you that the words mimenu by the Korban Pesach and by ma'aser sheni are extra, are available for this drasha, available for this Gzeira Shava. My mufni, so in what sense are they mufna? So Omar Rava, Omar Rav Yitzchak, tlosa mimenu ksiv, b'Pesach, because it's like this. By the Korban Pesach, it actually says three times mimenu. Because first it says, al tokh mimenu na. Then it continues, and next pasuk continues, mimenu ad boker. So three times it says the word mimenu. chad legufe, one is needed for the simple meaning of the pasuk to tell you, in other words, that you're not allowed to eat the korban pesach raw. Tosfos points out the reason why we need to say that is because otherwise the pasuk also, the previous pasuk also talks about eating matzah and maror with it. So you would have thought that it means that you can't eat the matzah and maror half roasted or half cooked or whatever. You wouldn't know that it refers to the korban pesach. So you need the word mimenu to tell us that it means that the korban pesach is what you can't eat raw. V'chad l'gzeder shava. The second mimenu is for the gzeder shava that we're talking about over here. V'chad, and the third one is as follows. The purpose of the third mimenu, there you have two possibilities. L'manda oma bar kosev litn l'cha eser achaloy seser. So you have like this. There's a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara. Why doesn't a person get malchus for leaving over meat from the korban pesach? On the face of it, it's a lav. The Torah told us lois sesim menu ad boker. A lav usually gets malchus. Why is there no malchus for leaving over noisa? And the Gemara says the Gemara gives in other places two reasons for that. Number one, and the first one is because it's a lav hanitek la'ese, because the pasuk tells you an ese following the lav. It tells you don't leave over, but if you do, then you should burn it. And that kind of lav, you don't get malchus for. The other opinion says that because the lav shein be meisa. Anyway, so lamanda om a bar kosev lit macha esa achalois esa. So according to the opinion that the reason you don't get malchus for leaving over from the korban pesach is because the pasuk is giving you an esa after the lois esa, then that explains why you have the third mimenu. I did chtiv noiser. Since already the pasuk had to mention noiser and mention that you're not allowed to leave it over, and if you do, then you have to burn it. So once it says that, so it adds the mimenu over there, not because you need it for the simple meaning of the pasuk, but just because, in other words, to tie them together to show that noiser and the burning it go together, and therefore that's a lav hanitik ba'asim. Then you have another opinion of why it mentions over there the part about burning the korban pesach, that the leftover korban pesach. There's another opinion that says that the pasuk wants to stress that you have to wait until the second morning. Namely, in other words, you eat the korban pesach the night after the 14th of Nisan. It becomes noser at midnight, but you can't burn it the following morning, which is the 15th, because that's Yom Tov, and you can't burn Pasul Akadshim on Yom Tov. So you have to wait until the 16th. So how do you know that? Because the Pasuk says that the Veloise Sidim Menu Ad Boker, Vahanosim Menu Ad Boker Ba'esh Tisroifu. So therefore, the second Boker comes to tell us that you have to wait until another morning. So Lamanda Omalitnale Boker Shainu Lestrefase. So according to the opinion that we're learning from that, since it says an extra time Boker, then it means you have to wait till the morning of the 16th. Well, then the same thing you could say, I did the Chtiv Ad Boker. Since already it has to say ad boiker, that you have to wait till the morning, then already it adds the word mimenu as well, even though it wouldn't otherwise have been necessary. So therefore, so Rava says, so those are what the three mimenus are for. One legufoi, one for the gzeir shava, and the other one, we have two possibilities what it's there for. Now, that's as far as Pesach. So we know, therefore, that one of the mimenus by the korban Pesach is available for the gzeir shava, is muf. Now, on the Maisa Sheni side, Tlosim Mimenu Ksivi B'Maisa. By Maisa Sheni also, it says three times Mimenu. Because it says, Lo Yachalti Ba'uni Mimenu, V'loi Bi'auti Mimenu B'Tomei, V'loi Nasati Mimenu L'Mes. So again, three times it says Mimenu. So therefore, so also, you have, so each one of them is used for a different purpose. Chad L'Gufe, one to tell us the actual din itself, that in fact, you're not allowed to eat, that you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni when it's Tomei. Another one teaches us the din that Rabbi Bohu said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan earlier in the Sugya, that he said that we see that even though you're not allowed to burn oil of Maisa Sheni that's Tomei, but you are allowed to burn oil of Truma that's Tomei. We learned that from the word Mimenu, because Mimenu was a miut. So we said on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis that the pasuk says Lo Bi'auti Mimenu B'Tomei, implying that you are allowed to burn oil of Truma that became Tomei and use it for lamp oil or whatever. So that's what the second one is there for. V'chad L'Dirish Shlokish, the third Mimenu by Maisa Sheni teaches us what Rish Shlokish says. To Amr Shlokish, Amr Samia, Minayin L'Maisa Sheni Shenit Moshamuta L'Suchoi. Now, how do we know? On the other hand, we're saying that Maisa Sheni that became Tomei, you're not allowed to burn it. But how do we know that you're allowed to use it up in a different way? You're allowed to smear it on your skin, which on the face of it, you would think not, because the fact is you're using it up b'trumah, and maybe you can't do that. So how do we know that you're allowed to? So shenema, because the pasuk says, the third mimenu is v'lo nasati mimenu l'meis. I didn't give from the ma'aser sheni to the dead, from which we learn that it means, in other words, that I did not use anything from ma'aser sheni for any dead purposes. That is where we learn, for example, that ma'aser sheni can be used only for eating and drinking and smearing on your skin. To be exact, actually, Rashi says, lames means something that you could conceivably do for a mess, as you would do for a living person, namely to smear on a skin. So the pasuk is saying that I didn't do that, implying the mess with one nasati, holochai, drum you to mess nasati. So in other words, the person is stressing when he says vidri meiser, I followed all the rules that the Torah tells me for meiser sheni. I did not use meiser sheni for a dead person, for example, the smear on his skin, but I am allowed, the implication is I am allowed to use it on a living person, where the living person where it would be used on the living person in the same way as it would on the dead person, namely smearing it. So you see from that that it means, you see from that then that the pasuk is implying that you are allowed to smear ma'aser sheni oil on your skin. And once it says that, then the same thing applies whether the oil is tomei or whether it's tahor. So there you go, says Rosh Lakish. That's how you know that ma'aser sheni, even when it's tomei, you're allowed to smear it on your skin. So now the point is that Eza Dabar Shashava B'chaim of a Mason, Heve Emezusicha, what's the only thing that you can do equally well for the living and for the dead is smearing on the skin. So therefore, so the Pasuk is saying, the Pasuk is implying by saying Velenasati Mimenu Lames, that you are allowed to smear Ma'aser Sheni oil on your skin. And the Mimenu is part of that, that you're allowed to, whether the Ma'aser Sheni is Tomei or whether it's Tahor. Okay, so the Gemara asks, maskifla mazutra, but mazutra says, how can you say that when the pasuk is saying v'lo nasati mimenu l'meis, it's talking about that you're not allowed to smear the oil on the skin of a mess. Maybe it means v'eim alikach le'odim v'tachrichim. Maybe it means that the pasuk is just telling you that you're not allowed to use money of ma'aser sheni to buy an oren or tachrichim for a mess. So the person is saying that even when ma'aser sheni became tomei, I couldn't eat it. Nevertheless, I didn't use it for a non-food purpose. And the implication is, what am I not using it for? For something that is exclusive to a mess, namely oner of tachrichim. But other things for example, smearing on the skin, for example, could be used by a mess, maybe. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe the pasuk is telling you, for example, Rashi explains that ma'aser tahor you can only use for food purposes, but maybe ma'aser sheni that became tomei, maybe you're allowed to use it to buy other things, such as a shirt or something. And maybe the Torah is telling you only things that are exclusive to a mess, like oren tachrichim, are also. Which in fact, Tosfos says, that is what the Mishnah in ma'aser sheni says. But the question in the Gemara over here is that maybe it means only that, and it means that other things that are done for a mess, for example, smearing on our skin, would be mutter. And the answer is, Amar of Hunabir Devashua, Mimenu, Migufa. No, because that's why you have the word Mimenu over there. It means something that has to do with his guf. The Orim Tachrichim are not part of the, they're placed on the mess's guf, but they don't penetrate in, whereas the word mimenu implies that we're talking about something that penetrates the guf, and that would be smearing on the skin. So if the pasuk is saying lo nasati mimenu the mess, it means I didn't use any of it for a mess in a way where it would penetrate into him. Rav Ashi says you can learn differently. When it says lo nasati drumia de lo achalti, the pasuk is mentioning three things together. Lo achalti mimenu b'tomei, I didn't eat ma'aser sheni in a state of tumah, whether I or the ma'aser sheni is tomei. And then later on it says lo nasati mimenu the mess. So therefore it means that the two things have to be similar. Malahalan migufay, afkan migufay. Achalti refers to something with your own guf that you're eating it. Therefore, lo nasati mimenu the mess also has to imply something that goes into the actual mess's guf, namely smearing on a skin. So the pasuk is telling you, lo nasati mimenu the mess, that I didn't use, that you're acknowledging that you followed the halacha, that you didn't smear the oil on a mess's skin, because in fact that would be also to do. So the point is then that Rosh Lakish is saying, now, on the other hand, you're not allowed to smear it on the skin of a dead person, but you are allowed, when the Maaser Sheni is Tomei, you're allowed to smear it on the skin of a living person. So therefore, so that's what the third Mimenu is for. Okay, well then, in that case, so what did we say? By the Korban Pesach, we have an extra Mimenu, but by Maaser Sheni, it comes out, we don't. It comes out, we used all three Mimenus by Maaser Sheni for something. One for one Legufay, one to teach us the din that you're allowed to burn Truma Tmeya, and the third one for this din about smearing Maaser Sheni oil that's Tomei on your skin. So far then the Gzeira Shava that we wanted to make on the word Mimenu to tell us that an oral is also to eat Maaser Sheni, it's only Mufna from one side, only the Korban Pesach side of it is Mufna, the Maaser Sheni side is not. So now you have other places in Shas where it says that such a Gzeira Shava is strong enough, once it's Mufna Mitzad Echad, we had that earlier in our Masechta as well, actually, that there are opinions that Mufna Mitzad Echad is in fact strong enough to that you can not only make such a Gzeira Shava, but you can't shlug it up. So according to that, then, as long as it's Mufna from the one side, from the Pesach Sheni, from the Korban Pesach side, then you're good. But you have another opinion that we learned previously that says you can make such Zeta Shava, but you can then slug it up if you find a reason to slug it up, if you find a reason to say that one thing is more stringent than the other. So then, Ma'ik Omeima, what are you going to say? After all, we know Korban Pesach is more stringent than Maaser Sheni in many ways. And the answer is, as a matter of fact, you're thinking that all three Mimenus from Maaser Sheni are used. In fact, no. The din that Rav Abahu said, which we're saying he learned from the word Mimenu, is in fact the fact that you can burn Truma, that's Tomei, we're in fact not learning from there. Midir Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravur Nafka. Rather, we learn it from a different pasuk, namely what Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Baravur. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravur, my dichtiv, the Hashem says to Aaron, I am giving you the guarding of my trumois in the plural. So b'shtei truma sakos medaber. The pasuk is implying that we're talking about two different kinds of truma. Achas truma tahora va'achas truma tmeya. So we're talking about two different kinds, one that's tahor and one that's tomei. But omer achmana locha, and the pasuk is saying that Hashem is saying, I'm giving it locha to you. Implying it means it's yours in the sense that you can burn it under a pot of food that you're making to use as firewood. So you can't eat it because it's tamei, but you can use it for such purposes. So therefore, so we learn that concept that you can burn truma tmeya and have hanah from it. You learn it from that pasuk. Therefore, you're not learning it from the pasuk by Maaser Sheni anymore. Well, therefore, one mimenu by Maaser Sheni is available for Rabbi Yitzchak Gzeira Shava, and therefore it's mufna mishnei tzadin. And now everybody agrees that Gzeira Shava, that's mufna mishnei tzadin. Then there's no contradicting that. So therefore, so that's what we're left with. That in fact, we find that there is a source to say that an oral is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, and that's how it is. An oral is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. So he's not allowed to eat Pesach, he's not allowed to eat Truma, and he's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. Again, we did have the Machlokas at the beginning of the Perek. We have the Machlokas we're showing him. Does that apply to Oral Shemesu Echav Machmas Mila, where he's not having a bris because it would be dangerous for him? Rabbi Natam says, that's not the Oral that we're talking about over here. Most of the other Rishonim say, yes, it is. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, now we're done with this discussion of Oral. So now the Mishnah had said that an oral is not allowed to eat truma, and it also said b'chol hatmeim, anybody who is tomei is not allowed to eat truma. So now we need to work out how we know that. Now we have to remember that when it comes to being tomei, there are several stages in it. You have a person is tomei where they go to the mikveh, and then at that point they're tevuyim. Then they have head of shemesh. For most kind of tmeim, that's enough, and now they're completely tahor. And then you have the few mechusri kippurim that we said before, the ones who additionally have to bring a korban, a zav, or a certain kind of zav, a zava, a yoledes, a mitzora. So for them, they have one more stage, they have to bring a korban, and then they're completely tahor. So now we're going to work out these different stages and see how we know that they apply to truma, namely that a person who's in one or another of those stages cannot eat truma. So manani, really, where do we know this from? Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, and we've quoted this Pasuk before, Ish Ish Mizera Aaron Votsa Ruah Izav. The Pasuk says, any man from the descendants of Aaron, if he has Tzaras, so he has a Zav, then the Pasuk continues, he's not allowed to eat Truma. Now, well, it says, actually, what it says is, Bakadoshim lo yoichol. Now, what do we mean by Bakadoshim lo yoichol? On the face of it, Kodshim sounds like it means Korbanus. But no, because since it says Mizera Aaron, a Zehu Dover Shashove Bezare Shal Aaron, what kind of thing is it that's given to the Kohenim, and all children of Aaron can eat it equally, men and women? Heavy omezu truma. Necessarily, it has to be truma because kodshim are eaten only by male Kohenim. So if it says mizera Aaron, then it implies truma. The Gemara says why? Ve'ema b'chaz v'shoik. Maybe it refers to the chaz v'shoik of shlomim, which are given to the Kohenim. And as we say in morning davening, amura mehem, what's taken off from a toda and from an eil nazir and from a shlomim, kayotzibahem, has the same dinim as them as far as where it can be eaten, except that it's reserved for the Kohenim and their families. But we're saying it's with the Kohenim and their families, the Meshayim will have name al abdeim. So all descendants of Aaron can eat chaz v'shoik. Why don't we say the Pasuk is talking about that and telling us that a person who's tome cannot eat those, and therefore it's not telling us about truma at all? The answer is can't. We have an exception among Zera Aaron who can't eat Chaz V'Shoik. Namely, the case that we talked about, and the cases we talked about in the previous parak, where a woman, where Bas Koyin was married to Yisrael and then widowed or divorced. So even when we said, even in the cases where she's allowed to go back to eating truma in her father's house, where her husband left her without any children, but she still can't eat Chaz V'Shoik. We learned it from Psokim over there. So therefore, you can't say that Chaz V'Shoik is available to all of Zera Aaron. Okay, the Gemara says Trumanami ain't a machalala. Nu, and among descendants of Aaron, I can also find people who can't eat truma either, namely a halala, namely a woman who we learned in the previous parak, a woman who had relations with a man that's also to her, where then she becomes a halala and she's never allowed to eat truma. The answer is okay, halala lav zara da Aaron. In that case, when she becomes a halala, in effect, she's not even considered a descendant of Aaron anymore. Biologically, of course, she is, but la halacha, we don't really consider her to be a descendant of Aaron, to be in that category anymore, and therefore the fact that she can't eat truma doesn't have any bearing on the words mizera Aaron. Okay. So therefore that establishes for us that the Pasuk Ishish Mizera Aaron Bakadoshim Lo Yoichal is referring to Truma. Okay, so now the question is, we said that there are several stages in Tara where you have a person goes to the mikveh, and then, now the Pasuk says over there going to the mikveh. It says over there that Kim Rochatz Psore Bamoyim, only if he washes himself in water, meaning goes to the mikveh, then he becomes Tahar. But we may dehai adasha yitar ad de ika head of shemesh. But how do we know that it's enough that he has head of shemesh and then he can eat truma? Dilma ad the maisi kapara. Maybe it means that if he's, after all, the pasuk is talking about a zov ishish for mizera aaron, who tsarua a zov. A tsarua has to bring a korban. A zov, certain kinds of zovim, as we're going to talk about in the next couple of lines, also have to bring a korban. So maybe the pasuk is saying adasha yitar, that he has to go through the full tara process, including bringing this korban, and only then can he eat truma. So how are we saying that it's not so, and he can in fact eat truma as soon as he has head of shemesh? Where after all, we said before on Omer Aleph, we brought a braisa that said that a mechusa kippurim is allowed to eat truma. So how do we know that? Maybe in fact he's not. And the answer is loy sakudai. You can't think that way. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel bezav bal shteirius of a mitzora muska akasim adab. Because when the pasuk says zav, it doesn't mean a zav. Now with a zav, you have two different kinds of zav. You have where he had two reis, two flows of ziva, or one that was long enough to be two, whatever. The Mishnayos discussed the details in the Masechta Zavim. Anyway, the point is, now you have a Zav who had two of them. He has all the dinim of a Zav in terms of that he's Matamet Shumas Midras and so on and so forth. However, to bring a Korban, he needs to have three times Ziva in order to be Chayiv in a Korban. We learned that in Masech Megillah last year. So the Pasuk, when it says a Zav, doesn't mean the one who has three Reis. It means the one who has only two. And the Metzora that the Pasuk is talking about is not a Metzora who was confirmed, where he has to be sent out of the city, and eventually when he becomes Tohu, he has to bring his Korbanos, but rather it's talking about a Metzora Musker, where he was in quarantine during the 1 week or 2 weeks until we see whether there are simonim to say that it's definite Tzaras. So the Pasuk is talking about them. And Rabbi Shmuel says, how do we know that? Dumya de Tmei Nefesh, because the Pasuk is mentioning three kinds of Tmeim together. It mentions a Zov, it mentions a Metzora, and somebody was Tomei Mess. Now, Ma Tmei Nefesh Delav Bar Kaporu. Now, a Tomei Mess, there's no Kapora, there's no Korban that a Tomei Mess brings when his Tumah is over. So, Hani Nami Delav Ne Kapora Ninu. Therefore, the Zov and the Metzora of the Pasuk also have to be the kind where there's no Kapora involved. And therefore, the Torah is telling you that as soon as they have a head of Shemesh, they can eat Truma. So therefore, implying that they don't need the korban. The Gemara says, "Ve'ema hani mila delav bakapara." Okay, so you could say the pasuk is telling you that fine, any person who doesn't need a kapara, then fine. He only has two stages of his Truma. He needs tvila and he needs head of Shemesh. And once he does that, then his Truma is completely gone and then he can eat Truma. Abel de bar kapara, but maybe the pasuk is still implying that if he does require kapara, if he was a zav with three reyes, or if he was a mitzora muchlat and so forth, ad de maisi kapara, maybe in fact he can only eat truma only if he brings his kapara. Where do you see that the pasuk is telling you otherwise? The two, furthermore, we have to ask, hodetnan, this that we learn in a Mishnah, that we have distinctions between maiser, Truma and Kodshim, that each one of them requires another stage of this. Tovav ola oichel b'maiser. A Mishnah tells us that that, for example, with a Mitzora, now let's say a Mitzora Muchlat, where he has to go through all three stages. So the Mishnah says in Negoyim that once he tovels, as soon as he comes out of the mikveh, he can eat Maiser Sheni, even before Head of Shemesh. Head of Shimshar oichel b'truma. Then once he has Head of Shemesh, which is the second stage, now he can eat Truma as well. And Heavy kapara oichel b'kodshim, and once the next day he brings his kapara, he brings his korban, then he can eat kodshim. Menalon. So where do we know all that from? So we have two questions. Number one, maybe the pasuk is in fact implying that somebody who is mechusa kapara has to bring his kapara before he can eat truma. And number two, how do we know the distinctions that we said, that we just said, that maiso does not require even head of shemesh, and truma does, and kodshim require a korban as well. So we need to work all that out. This, by the way, relates to, at the very beginning of Shas, the very first Mishnah of Brochus begins, me'ema saikorin ashrama ba'ayvis, misha sha'kan mechnasim lechol b'trumasan, that from when the Kohenim go to eat their truma, and Rashi over there quotes, or Gemara over here, that we see that as soon as a person has head of Shemesh, he's allowed to eat truma, and therefore, once we define the time of head of Shemesh, then we also know the earliest time for saying Shema in the evening. Anyway, the point is, so where do we know all these dinim? So, Omar Rava Omar of Chista, Tlosa Kroiksid. The answer is because there are three psukim that the Pasuk says in this connection, about various stages of Tara. Ksiv v'lo yoicham en ha-kodshim kim rochat psorim ha-moyim. One pasuk says over there, these are all psukim, two of these psukim are in that section, in Parshas Emor, which we established that section is talking about Truma. And the third one is in a different place, the third one is at the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Number one, the pasuk says, v'lo yoicham en ha-kodshim kim rochat psorim ha-moyim. The pasuk says that he should not eat from the kodshim, which we said before, kodshim means on the face of it, kodshim means truma, unless he washes his flesh in water, meaning unless he goes to the mikveh, implying hol rochatz tohur, implying that as soon as he goes to the mikveh, he's tohur. Uchtiv uvah hashemesh v'tohur. Then the next pasuk continues that the sun goes down and then he becomes tohur, which. And then he can eat from the kodshim, implying that he needs head of shemesh. And by the way, the Gemara over there in Brach has explained that the word v'tahar doesn't just mean the person becomes tahar, because in fact, to a certain degree, he's still tameh, because in mechusa kapara, it means that the sunlight is completely cleaned up from the sky, that the sun is completely gone, and it's seitzah kechavim. Anyway, the point is that the Pasuk says that he has to bar Shemesh for Tahar, and only then can he eat from the Kodshim. So that means he needs head of Shemesh as well. Uchtiv, then you have yet another pasuk by a woman who gave birth, where it says v'chiper Allah ha'koyin v'tahera. It says the koyin should make an atonement for her by bringing her korban on her behalf v'tahera, and she becomes tahar, implying that up until that point she's tamei. So what is it? What do we need? Toivling, head of shemesh, or the korban? And the answer is hoketzad. So how do you reconcile them? Because they're talking about three different things: kan l'maisa, kan l'truma, kan l'kodshim. The first one, saying that all you need is tevila, is that then you can eat maisa sheni. The second one, saying that you need a head of shemesh, is for truma. And the third one, saying that you need the korban as well for people who have to bring a korban, is for kodshim. What's this for epochana? Okay, but after all, the pasuk's not specifying which is which. So maybe flip them around. Maybe say, for example, that truma you can eat as soon as you toivel, then maisa sheni you have to wait for head of shemesh. So the Gemara says mistaba truma adifa. It's more logical to say that truma takes precedence and that truma has stricter dinim than maisa sheni. You have to wait till a later stage of tara shekein machpaz, because as we said before, truma has the advantage over maisa sheni as far as four things: machpaz, which stands for misa, the misa b'dei shemayim, for a zor who eats truma. The ches was choymesh, that if you eat truma, if a zor eats truma b'shoigig, then he has to pay back an extra choymesh. You can't be poide it, unlike you can be poide maisa sheni, and it's also to zorim. So we see that there are four things in which truma has the advantage over maisa. So therefore, it's more logical to say that something more stringent, namely the head of shemesh, applies to truma. The Gemara says, on the other hand, I can find advantages that Maiser Sheni has over Truma, and even more advantages. Namely, and those can be represented with this acronym, Hadas Tav. Number one, Havas Mokrim, that you have to bring Maiser Sheni to your Shalayim, where Truma you don't. Number two, that you need Vidui for it. They're not always in these things, is the acronym, not always does it use the first letter of each thing. Here, instead of the Vav, we're using the Dawah. So Maisa Sheni, we said the other day, once you finish giving it out at the end of the third year and the end of the sixth year, then you need to do Vidui Maisa on it. Truma you don't have. The Samach is that it's also to an onion, whereas we established before that Truma is Mutter to an onion. Number four, we said you're not allowed, the test stands for Truma. We said you're not allowed to burn Maisa Sheni, which is Tomei, but you are allowed to burn and use it for your benefit. But you are allowed to burn Truma, that's Tomei, and use it for your benefit, for example, to light a lamp. And the fifth thing, the vase, stands for beer, that you have a mitzvah. You have to eventually do beer maisris. You don't have to do, because you have a certain deadline after which you can't keep the maisa by you anymore. You have to either give it away to everybody that's supposed to go to, or you have to destroy it. Whereas truma, you don't have that. So maisa sheni has a lot of chumras over truma. So why don't we say that another chumra is that you have to wait till head of shemesh? And the answer is, afilahochi misa adifa. Okay, but among all those advantages that Maiser has over Truma, there's none of them that involves any kind of death. When there is, you can talk about whether Misa or Kodesh is more stringent, but on the Truma side, you have Misa B'dei Shemayim. That has to outweigh a number of other things from Maiser. And therefore, we can say that the Pasuk is therefore telling you that Truma, which has that Chumra so strong that if a person eats it when he's not supposed to, he gets Misa B'dei Shemayim, therefore, it's also strong enough that he can only eat it only if he has head of shemesh. Okay. So Rava Amar B'loy Misa Adifa Namu LeMatzas Amrit. Rava says, never mind that. Even leaving aside the question of Misa versus not, there's another reason why the pasuk is clearly saying that it's only Truma that needs head of shemesh and not Maaser Sheni. Because Omakra Nefesh, because the pasuk says Nefesh Ki Sigaboy, a person who touches any of these things that makes them tamei. And then it continues. Then he's tamei, and he has to go to the mikveh. So a zehu davish, a shava b'chol nefesh. What kind of between truma and meiser? What is equally available to be eaten by any person, by any yid? Have a emes a meiser, necessarily meiser, because truma is reserved only for kohenim and their families. So therefore, automatically that pasuk implies that we're talking about meiser. And therefore, if it continues, the rochatz psorei b'moyim, that he just has to wash himself in water, meaning go to the mikveh, then that implies that's all you need for meiser. Okay, the Gemara says still Va'akati, still you could understand that we're saying that head of Shev still. So far, fine. That establishes that you need Tzvila in order to eat Maisa Sheni and head of Shemesh for Truma. But again, maybe all that is only talking about Hanimi the Hecha de la Bakapara, as like we asked before. Maybe all this applies when there's no Kurban to be brought. Then fine. As soon as then you have that Maisa Sheni, it's enough. All you need is Tzvila and Truma. You additionally need to wait for head of Shemesh. Still, maybe the implication would be that when there's a kapara to be brought, for example, a zov with three re'ias or a mitzvah muchlat, etc., maybe they need to bring the kapara and they can't eat truma until they do. And we said before that not. We said that even a mechusa kipurim is allowed to eat truma, you just can't eat kodjim. How do we know that? Because within a yaledis itself, within a woman who gave birth herself, you have two ksukim. One pasuk says until the days of her tara are completed. So you have, we know that you have, she's tomei for 7 days after giving birth to a boy and 14 for a girl. And after that, she has 33 days of partial tara for after a boy and 66 after a girl. Now, throughout that time, Rashi explains, in all that time, she's considered tvulas yoim oruk. She's considered, it's like an extended state of tvul yoim. She toivled at the end of the 7 or the 14 days, and now she's mutter to be with her husband, but she's still considered that a regular tvul yoim, the sun goes down that evening, nightfall comes that night, and then he's told her, with her yoledis, she has to wait 33 or 66 days for the tzeisek lechavim that will make her no longer a tvul yoim. So the pasuk is implying that at that point, implying kiven shemolu yamei hatara, as soon as the days are over, then she's tahor without anything else. Uchdiv, but then a couple of psukim later, it says v'chipra ela koyin v'tahera. The pasuk continues that the koyin has to make the kapara for her, has to bring a korban for her, and then she becomes tahor. So what is it? Is she tahor after the 40 or the 80 days, or is she tahor only after the korban is brought the next day? Okay, it said kam the truma, kam the kodshim. So therefore, it has to mean that we're talking about truma and kodshim respectively. Okay, again, the gemara asks for epochana. Again, how do you know that truma, it's enough to just have head of Shemesh and kodshim, you need the korban, maybe the other way around. And the answer is mistabra, kodesh chomosh, ken panak achas. We have the same thing that we learned before on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We have six things that kodshim have over truma. Pigul, noiser, the fact that it's a korban, the fact that an ila applies there, that a person is chayiv kodesh for eating kodshim when they're not supposed to, and the fact that it's also to an oinen, none of which apply to truma. And the question is, adarab truma chamor shaken machbaz, but we said before, truma has four advantages that kodshim don't. And the answer is hanach nefisha, and the answer is, okay, but six is greater than four. And here we can't say, like we said before, misa adifa, because one has misa and the other one has kodesh. Rava Omer, and Rava says, again, like we don't need that svara, beloy hanach nefisha, my motzis amet, even without considering the fact that six is more than four, you still can't say that the pasuk is telling you that a person should be allowed to eat kodshim without bringing their korban for completing their kapara. Because after all, the pasuk is saying that the kohen makes the kapara for her and she's tahor, miklal shehit meya, implying that up until that point, she still has a degree of truma. The isak gadach b'kodshim. Now, if you were going to say that kodshim, she's allowed to eat at that point before bringing that korban, how is that possible? Ikri kan v'abosar shiga b'chol tamei lo yo'ochol. After all, the pasuk says any meat of a korban that touches anything tamei can't be eaten. Now, the mechusa kipurim is still, the pasuk is implying, has a certain degree of truma. So elo shmamin abitruma. Necessarily, therefore, Rava says, even without considering the respective number of advantages that korbanos have over truma and vice versa, the pasuk itself is implying that she has a degree of truma at this point. And since we find elsewhere that any degree of truma prevents a person from eating kodshim, then there you go. That's what it means, therefore, that she can't be eating kodshim until she brings her korban. There is, by the way, a sicha in Chelet Chof Zayin where the Rebbe talks about this. So the Gemara is saying over here, Tahora Meklal Shi Tmeya. There's actually, the Rebbe brings over there, the Rambam and Rashi each formulate this service a little bit differently. The Rambam formulates it that it's not so much that she's Tomei, but that there's only like one degree of Tuma that still remains on her. For the most part, she is Tahor, and therefore the Rambam learns that in fact, at that point, if she would eat Kodshim, she's not Chayev Kores. She's only over on a lav, but because he says, in effect, that most of the truma is gone. The Raiva, in fact, disagrees with the Rambam and says, no, in fact, a person would be chayev koris for eating kodesh in the truma. Then Rashi on the pasuk phrases it differently. He says that she's called tamei, she kruya tamei. And the Rebbe goes into some discussion what Rashi means by that. What do you mean she's called tamei? Is she tamei or is she not? And so the Rebbe develops the idea over there that she's tamei only in the sense, why does she need to bring the korban anyway? Primarily because of the chet et adas, not so much because of anything that she herself did wrong, but rather because of the after effects of the chet et adas. And therefore, in that sense, she's called tamei in the sense she herself is not really tamei. She has this restriction on eating kodshim, but not because she's intrinsically tamei, but only because of the after effects of the chet et adas. And then at the end, the Rebbe develops the idea over there that what Rashi in effect is saying. Now the point is, the Rebbe also discusses, according to Rashi, according to that explanation, it would come out that therefore you have to bring the korban as soon as possible, because you don't even want to be in a state where you're called tamei. A person might well say to themselves, well, I don't have kodshim to eat anytime soon, so what do I care if I remain tamei to a certain degree for the time being? I'll deal with the korban later. Saying that she's kruya tamei implies in and of itself that she wants to get out of that state of being called tamei as soon as possible. And so the Rebbe develops the idea there at the end of the sicha that in the same sense, between us and the Eibishter, we right now are in a condition where we're called Tomei because we're in Golos, and the Eibishter wants us to be out of that state as soon as possible and to bring us to a state where we're not even called Tomei anymore, where we are fully 100% Torah. Which should be behavior, Amen, Amamish.
Amen. Shker.